Well, I think just a quick recap of the game. Thought our guys played really hard, which is something that we've been trying to stress and emphasize. And I thought we had really, really good mental intensity in the first half of that game in all three phases. Even on special teams, we get the block punt and Keelan's head is in the neutral zone on the block. But I just thought the intensity, the focus, the attention to detail in all three phases was really where we wanted it in the first half of that game. Thought in the second half, we had some natural, mental lapses in our mental intensity and mental focus. whether it's the interception in the end zone, a couple of the deep balls, so those are things that we're trying to capture and get right. But all in all, I loved the way our team played Saturday, and it just goes back to when you prepare really well, when you practice with real intent, generally that leads to a positive performance. And I'd like to also add that I thought it was a great atmosphere Saturday. 11 a.m. kick, how that DKR was rocking, that the fans were here. It was definitely a home field advantage. Look forward to our fans traveling with us up to Fort Worth this week. For those that can make it, we'd love to have you. Be a great environment for football.
Brejan, if you have a question, then we'll get a mic to you. Start on the end of the right jump.
I know that Coach Patterson has a good reputation in football for his defenses, but now you're preparing to go against that defense. So what do you see studying him, and how do you think your offense pairs well or matches up with his defensive principles?
Well, Coach Patterson's a great defensive coach. His teams always play hard, very well coached. I think they do a heck of a job of getting themselves in the right call. They challenge you off the edges with the corner blitzes or the nickel blitzes from the field. They're disruptive up front, and they generally have really good edge rushers, just like they do this year, of applying pressure on the quarterback and then matching your routes in the back end. So. We've got to be detailed in our preparation. It's going to be a physical game, and we need to continue down this road of our brand of football that we pride ourselves on. And then, ultimately, we got to execute.
Steve, I want to ask you about the last two games combined. When you changed quarterbacks or made that decision, how much in your mind did you change up your aggressiveness in play calling? Because it feels like the last two games, y'all are going more for the throat early and trying to get up early.
I don't know if all that's necessarily true. There was a lot in that question, but I think at the end of the day, when you prepare and practice well, and I see things in practice that make sense, you have more confidence as a play caller to call some of those things, and that's nothing against Hudson or just a huge benefit to Casey. I think collectively. Whether it's the offensive line, the receivers, the runners, some of the things that we're trying to do and asking to do, the response is better throughout the week in practice, which in turn gives me a lot more confidence to call it on game day. I do think Casey in particular really owns the game plan. I think he dives into it. He prepares. He studies. He knows what we're trying to do. And in turn, he stresses to the guys the notion of maybe if we're trying to go fast to get lined up, he stresses to the guys about a specific split by a receiver. He'll stress to the running back, reminder to get out in this route because he knows he's vital in the check down for him on the play. But that comes because he prepares really, really well. And I think, he's seeing the benefits of that, and obviously we are too.
Coach, you're 4 foot away through the season at this moment. What do you feel like you know about your team at this moment, and what are some of the things you're still trying to figure out or learn?
I think one of the keys about our team, I think we're coachable. I think we've been very demanding, and we continue to be demanding today. There's things for all of us individually to get better at, and through that, we should get better collectively as a team, which I think we've seen over the past couple of weeks. But with it all, I think our players, one, have been very coachable, and they're trying really to do what we're asking them to do. Or they're trying to go into a game with the mindset that we want. And that part is, you'll take that every day as a coach. Like, I can't ask for more than that. Clearly, you know, I think the last 2 weeks we've done a nice job of affecting the opponent's quarterbacks. That's been a positive. You know, we've done a nice job of you know, eliminating the run game and kind of making teams a little bit more one-dimensional, which is a positive. Now, when we do that, we can't give up the big pass plays, and that we can't have the mental lapses in the back end to where that occurs. So that's definitely something for us to focus on. You know, I think offensively, you know, clearly, you know, we're an aggressive unit. We like to take our shots down the field. We really haven't really hit one. You know, we haven't hit those yet. We've gotten some pass interference calls. We've had a couple kind of off our fingertips, but you know, that's something that is definitely going to be stressed here throughout the week. You know, against a really good opponent. These guys they're sticky in the back end. They play really well pass coverage. So we're going to have to be detailed and in the right spots and throwing the ball to the right spots.
Quick follow-up on play calling confidence. If I'm hearing you right, are you seeing things on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays that give you confidence to try things on Saturday, and then it all kind of snowballs and builds on itself?
Well, I think, you know, we put together a game plan, and I got a lot of plays on my call sheet when we show up to the stadium on Saturday, and they're all part of the plan. But inevitably, you know, I'm trying to call the things that A, fit the opponent that we're getting ready to play, and B, that our players have shown to execute well. And, you know, sometimes you get into a game and certain plays on that call sheet aren't good that week. Maybe they're playing something a little different, whatever that is. Or sometimes you got something on that call sheet that looks really good, but, man, it didn't look very good throughout the week. You got to be a voice of reason. Like, you can't be stubborn with it. You know, I think the players are starting to learn me as well and my style and how I go about it. And I think a lot of that comes from trust, you know, that they know I'm trusting them with some of the things that we're doing. And in turn, I think they trust me. You know, when we go through a walkthrough on Friday and we walk through a play, they in their mind know, okay, this is going to get called. Whatever the scenario is in game, first and 10, red area, third down, whatever it is. And so they're kind of trusting me now that we're not walking through plays and practicing plays for my health. You know, we're doing it because we like the call. We want to run it. We want them to execute it so that everybody feels good about it. Yep.
On your defense, Arkansas gashed you on the run. Tech went over the top. I think you're 86th in the country in total defense. I know you're not a huge stat guy. Where's the improvement need to come besides the mental focus, the whole game, like you said?
Well, I think a couple things, you know, we so far this year played really good red zone defense, and that's part of our style, right? I mean, there's part of it is, you know, college football, people are going to move the ball. The idea is we have to really minimize / eliminate the explosive plays, and that didn't happen Saturday against Tech, and then clearly against Arkansas, you know, we got leaky in the run. We were hanging in there for a while. Offense wasn't helping the defense, and then runs started to spit out. But the minimizing / eliminating the explosive plays, and then when we get into the red area, you know, we got to defend the end zone, and we got to keep people out of the end zone. So those two things really work, you know, hand in hand together. Now, when you can eliminate the run and make teams one-dimensional, now you have to have the ability to affect the quarterback. And that's not always getting sacks. That's having the ability to move them off the spot, disguising coverages, force errant throws, create turnovers, which we were able to do Saturday, especially in the first half. You know, I thought we got them a little one-dimensional. We disguised the coverage really well. We get an interception for a touchdown, which really created a lot of momentum in the game. So, you know, the mental lapse in the second half is definitely something we have to work on, but the intent and the way we played in the first half, I was really happy with. Now we have to continue that for 60 minutes.
When it comes to the offensive line, leaps and bounds since Arkansas, and obviously the competition level's been a little different, but what do you see on tape where you know the O-line has improved?
Well, I think one thing is, you know, when you're running the football, the line of scrimmage is moving in a forward direction. You know, I think that we're trusting the communication amongst one another. There's not as much hesitation. I think we're using much better, you know, fundamentals and techniques to make the blocks. And then when we're getting there, I think we're getting there with a much nastier demeanor. That's part of offensive line play. You know, we're we're cerebral in a lot of what we do, and there's design and there's scheme and there's communication. But at the end of the day, you still have to defeat your man. And I think that was something that we had to kind of get that point across, that it's one thing to be assignment sound and be in front of the man you're supposed to block. It's another to win the play and dominate the man and move the man in a direction to create holes. And I thought that has been probably a big of a step as we've made here the last 2 weeks, is that we're really sustaining and finishing blocks much better than we did, you know, for the first couple games of the year. So, yes, I think we're playing better together and the communication's better and all that. But I think we're playing a lot more nasty, a lot more physical. And, you know, that's what you got to have up front.
Steve, how would you assess Joshua Moore's play over these first 4 weeks? You know, leading receiver last year, maybe his stats aren't as big as they were last year, but I don't know if that's because defenses are focusing more on him, other guys have emerged, or, you know, regression on his part.
I think, you know, part of it is, you know, nothing we do is really set to say we're trying to get the ball to X receiver or B receiver or so on and so forth. It's a scheme, and somewhat of it is, you know, we try to call the best plays based on what we think is coming, but ultimately the defense kind of dictates where the ball is going to go, and it's on the quarterback at that point to trust his progression. I think Josh has had a little bit of bad luck, quite frankly. I think he's gotten two, if not three, pass interference penalties on him or defensive holding penalties down the field that could have created, you know, kind of explosive plays. He's had a couple other balls kind of off his hands, pretty good coverage kind of off his hands that I think he's capable of making those plays. So I feel confident that his, you know, the numbers will start to show the player that he is. And I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, we hit a couple of these shots, he makes a couple of those contested plays, and then we really have now multiple guys that defenses have to worry about.
Steve, is it a coaching challenge to wash away things, whether it's 70 points, whether it's what TCU did against SMU, whether it's Texas's recent history in Fort Worth and all that stuff with the guys?
Some of those things I don't know if we want to erase them. We're just very demanding on what our approach needs to be. There's things to clean up from last week's game that we obviously met on and are demanding on. We're not naive to the elephant in the room that we're 2-7 against TCU the last 9 years. And we're also not going to buy the lie that we're going to play the same TCU team that just played SMU Saturday. We're going to get a little different animal, a little different opponent Saturday. So we got to buckle up and get ready to play.
Sarkis, two quick things. One, do you have an injury update? And then I know you can't talk about unsigned recruits, but you had a lot of recruits in the stands on Saturday. Just what was the response? And as you get ready to head into October, just kind of what's your overall thought on where recruiting is now in the 2020?
Injury-wise, we're pretty status quo. Thought we came out of the game healthy, which was a positive. That was a physical game. We wanted it to be a physical game, and came out of that healthy. I think from a recruiting standpoint, what an awesome atmosphere, you know. I know everybody gets concerned about 11 a.m. kicks and your fans getting here, and you know, I stood right here last Monday and posed the challenge to our fans to get there early and be part of this thing with us. I thought it was a great atmosphere, a great environment. You know, part of me is we're a morning practice team, so for our guys, you know, kicking off at 11 a.m., we'd normally be just getting off the practice field. So I think that felt comfortable for those guys, for our players, but in turn created a great atmosphere for the recruits. But also for us as coaches, the ball game was done at whatever it was, 2:30 in the afternoon. We got a whole afternoon and evening to be with the recruits, as opposed to sometimes you play that night game, we're at the hotel, we're getting ready for the game, the recruits may be here, but as coaches, we're not around them. So I thought it gave us really good access, and I thought the guys loved it. So, you know, all in all, I don't know, intentional or not, us kicking at 11, we'll take it. I thought it was an advantage to us.
I don't know if you watched Bijan's film in high school, but it was a lot of running away from guys, and he was not the lead guy last year. So how have you seen him I know he can dance around anybody, but how have you seen him take on not only the workload but also the physicality of, you know, being a running back? Sometimes you got to go one-on-one with a guy.
You know what jumps out to me? He had a couple runs Saturday where I thought he did a really nice job of, I don't know if you want to call it absorbing the contact from the defender or delivering the blow, but using the force from the defender to redirect his movement and then use that. You know, that not many people can do that with the balance and body control that's needed to do it. So, yes, he is playing a physical brand of football, but he has a unique, you know, balance about him to, you know, keep his feet and redirect and then continue to go forward. I thought there was, you know, two or three examples that jump out to me where safeties had a shot on him and he kind of took the shot almost off of the side and almost ricocheted him back in another direction. And that takes great strength, great balance, great explosion. So, you know, he's playing at a high level.
Steve, can you talk about the efficiency that the offense is operating with right now and how much of that is the quarterback stabilization and what that means in terms of confidence to this whole football team?
Well, I mean, I think I appreciate the way the guys are working, the way the guys are preparing, the way they're playing. You know, I haven't been around where you haven't punted for two games, you know. So I appreciate the execution and the approach and, you know, the execution on critical downs. You don't do what we're doing without having the third down execution and the fourth down execution. So it's some of the critical moment plays that are showing up. And that comes through preparation, that comes through practice, and that comes through confidence and belief and trust. You know, ideally, I'd love for that to go all year long. I don't know if all that's a reality, but we'll take it right now. We're working hard. We're not settling. We're continuing to work at it, and we're going to need to as our opponents as we go through this season, starting with TCU Saturday. This is a great defensive football team, great defensive coach, and it's going to take, you know, that brand of football to be successful Saturday.
You touched on this team struggles with TCU in recent years. I'm curious what your messaging to the team has been in regards to sort of getting past that, especially since you haven't been here for those losses.
And we're going to show up Saturday at 11 o'clock and kick off and play football.
Steve, I'm sure you don't think not punting in back-to-back games is a problem, but I'm wondering, do you give that punt team extra reps in practice? I mean, how do you kind of make sure they don't get rusty, I guess?
I mean, same number of reps. We practice punt quite a bit. It's always a little bit of a scary play from an offensive perspective or a team perspective because, you know, a lot of bad can happen, right? Block punts, punt returns, field position, you know, miss punts. So we practice it a lot, so I'm not as concerned about the reps. But, you know, we put a lot of time and effort into it. We put a lot of good players on that unit for us to make sure that we execute it well.
We talked about redshirting a little bit, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. Jatavion Sanders is one. How many games has he played, and is that kind of thing in your thoughts at all? And who has really played great on defense?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably on the same line of where I was last week. I'm not as concerned about it. We've got a lot of football left to play. I think we need to keep developing our players. You know, really 4.5 years of eligibility is kind of what they give you now almost, right? So it's a lot of football for these guys. So right now it's about developing these guys as players, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that as a staff, and the players are buying into, you know, we're diving into all of them. It's not just the starters. We're diving into all of our players, trying to make them better. So when they get opportunities to get in the game, I think that's great exposure for them to try to, you know, put things into action that we've been working on with them individually. So just to use that as an example, I think Moro Ojomo is playing really good football for us inside. I like the effort by Coburn the last 2 weeks, the way he's played. You know, I think DeMarvion is playing really good football. You know, I know he had a couple missed tackles last week, but it wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't for not flying around. Now we got to clean up a couple things technique-wise that I think will help him. And I thought Josh Thompson had a really good day Saturday. I know he had the interception, and that's an easy one to see. But he's playing a physical brand of football at corner. I think he's communicating well. He's playing at a high level. And I don't know if it was his best game Saturday, but I think Anthony Cook has played good for us as well. So that, I'm leaving guys out. That's probably not fair, but you know, it goes back to even Luke Brockmeyer. For whatever reason, the ball finds that guy, and sure enough, Saturday it found him again. You know, with the big turnover.
Building on the no punts theme, how much you've had? I think in three games you've gone for it on fourth down early on. And there was a fourth and six and two fourth and threes, I think it was. How much of that is you wanting to instill, whether it's a killer mindset or an attack mindset, but set a tone early on with, like, hey, I believe in you guys. Stay out there and let's get it done.
No, I think that's part of it. You know, I think that they need to know I believe in them. You know, I think the staff needs to know I believe in the plan, right, the calls that we have for those situations. You know, obviously I don't want to be, you know, just – you know, quite frankly, I don't want to be arrogant in our approach to it in a way that is just like, why would you do that? I think all of them that we went for, I don't, you know, you could argue, yeah, I guess they could punt it, or yeah, that's, you know, I get why they're going for it. So I don't think we did anything that was too out of the norm, but I do think that, I think it sends a pretty good message to our team that we believe in them and we are an attack-oriented football team. And I think it does somewhat set the tone for how we want to play the ball game.
A lot of talk about Casey's efficiency going back to the Alamo Bowl, but this is a kid that started two games in 4 years. Are you seeing changes, evolution, development in the last couple of weeks as he's established himself?
Yeah, I think with anything, with opportunity and then with success, you know, it lends itself to confidence, right? And, you know, confident players are dangerous because, you know, they want more of that success, so they prepare even more. And that's the cycle that I think he's in. It's like he got a taste of some success. He dove back into, okay, how did I get there? Let me try to recreate it. And he got some more. And so now he's finding his rhythm. But you know, it's opportunity, you know, success, and then confidence, and then ultimately belief in everything that he's doing and why he's doing it and why we're doing what we're doing.
Steve, Casey talked about Xavier Worthy's competitiveness. He seems like he's playing, and not like a freshman. You got 3- and 4-year receivers who aren't as productive as he is. What is it about him that we're seeing this evolution?
Yeah, I think he's a mature competitor. I think that you know, a lot of times freshmen come in and they like the flashy plays, or they you know, they look at the depth chart and they say, well, I'm just going to kind of wait my turn. I don't think Xavier once ever felt that way or thought that way. In our summer conditioning, he attacked it. In learning the offense and learning the system, he attacked that. In his opportunities in training camp, he attacked those opportunities. He's never been a outspoken, boastful guy. He just wants to get back to work, and he wants to know how he can do it better. And in turn, I think he's gained a little bit of trust, obviously, from the quarterbacks and obviously in us, you know, to be able to have him out there and do multiple things with him. But it's not, you know, he does it through hard work. You know, he does it through believing in himself and then taking advantage of opportunities when they're presented. You know, I don't think the moment at any time for him showing up here on campus or in any game has ever been too big for him. I think that's a sign of a really, you know, unique competitor, and he's wired the right way, DNA wise, that's for sure.
There it is, the weekly news conference with Coach Sark from here on the UT campus. Asked quite a bit about Casey Thompson, also asked about Xavier Worthy. Interestingly enough, those two have been honored by the Big 12 Conference this week. Casey Thompson named the Maxwell Award Player of the Week, a Manning Award Star of the Week, and the Big 12 Conference Offensive Player of the Week, and Worthy was named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week, as announced by the Big 12 Conference this morning. They announced that Tristan Ebner of Baylor had the big kickoff return for a touchdown against Iowa State, was the special teams player of the week. Good news in that, no significant injuries to report. And again, as we pointed out at the top before the news conference got underway, if you didn't hear it, it's an 11 a.m. kickoff for the Oklahoma game. And Coach Stark asked about that, said that they've that's normally when they're getting off the practice field anyway, as they were this morning. So it felt pretty natural to them, and they don't mind the 11 a.m. kicks. They're going to have it again this Saturday in Fort Worth against TCU and then against Oklahoma the following week. So there it is, Steve Sarkisian's news conference. We'll take a break. When we come back, Jeff Howell will rejoin me, and we'll continue with Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.